The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbut. Weekday morning from 6 to 7.
Is there anybody alive out there?
The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbut. You're not living every day. The broken heart stand. There's a price you gotta pay. Keep pushing them, it's understood. These bad lads not treating us good.
Working in the field. And good morning, Denver! Welcome back to the show. Glad you could join us here on a Tuesday. It's February 12th. Thanks for tuning in, 1340 AM, 104.7 FM, MileHighSports.com. Maybe you got a brand new shiny smartphone. Get the app for Mile High Sports, because there are plenty of ways to listen to the station all day long. Thank you so much for starting your Tuesday right here with the Morning Huddle. I'm your host, David Hurlbut. Kyle Berry with us as always. Folks, Daytona 500 is this Sunday. Joe Benton is joining us in the third segment. Feels like we just crowned a champion, but the new year about to start. And NASCAR, very unique, has their Super Bowl week one. So Joe Benton in the third segment, talk a little NASCAR. I'm organizing the rest of my week here. We might have our friend Spencer Smith on, talk a little about the LA/Genesis Open. We usually don't go too in-depth in every golf tournament other than the majors, but when you have a friend, a resource inside the tournament, it might be fun to talk to Spencer a little bit about the LA Open. John Mendoza sometime this week. Put it together, talk a little Nuggets. With Brandon Vogt, so stay tuned. But today, Joe Benton, talking a little NASCAR. 303-831-1340. Still the hotline and the text line. Kyle's Twitter at KBurryYourHead. Mine is at HurlbutHuddle. Kyle, how's it going, man? You doing all right? Kyle's doing well. I'm doing well. Got a good night's sleep, so stop wasting time, David. Today in sports.
Today in sports with David Hurlbut, presented by Caliber Home Loans. Let them guide you home. Visit CaliberHomeLoans.com.
February 12th. There's that music. 1878. Frederick W. Thayer patents the baseball catcher's mask. Nice job, Frederick. A little safety there for the players and put a few bucks in your pocket. 1879, the first artificial ice rink opens in North America. Where? Not too trivial, this one. Madison Square Garden in New York City. 1880, the National Croquet League is organized in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Here's our guy, probably with the most mentions on today in sports. 1982, Wayne Gretzky ties the NHL record for most points in a season when he gets his 153rd point. He ties the mark on February 12th. I love it. In 1987, Bill Fitch becomes the fifth coach in NBA history to get career number 700 win. Here he is again, 1999. Wayne Gretzky gets his 45th career hat trick and achieved a 40-plus goal season for the 10th time in his career. 1997, Kevin Johnson reached 1,000 career steals. I always liked watching Kevin Johnson play. Underrated player. Nice point guard there. Had a few really great years with the Phoenix Suns, with Thunder, Dan Marley, and Barkley. They had some good teams there. Nice run. And finally, in 2002, baseball owners approved the sale of the Florida Marlins and Montreal Expos. That's today in sports, folks. February 12th. Don't forget, Valentine's Day, couple days away. Talk to my friends over there at The Butchery. They have a few more spots open. Please check them out. Give them a call. The Butchery, 303-425-1962. Check out butcheryarvada.com. You can always go to opentable.com, make a reservation. I think I'm going to go over there with my wife Thursday night. Just a great, great spot. Great food. Awesome service. They're doing some fantastic things there, and the future only looks brighter. So check out The Butchery if you need a last-minute dinner reservation for Valentine's Day on Thursday. The hotline text line, as usual, 303-831-1340. My man Phil just wrapped it up yesterday morning, taking home the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Moves up to fifth in the FedEx Cup standings, taking this week off. The next week, he will defend his title in Mexico at the World Golf Championships. His fifth win all time at Pebble. Time Mark O'Meara. I mean, that's pretty nice company when you're a couple ahead of Jack Nicklaus, a few ahead of Tiger at Pebble. And he's just a class act, which is why I just root for the guy. Tells the story after he wins, how his grandfather, I've mentioned it before in the show, was the caddy at Pebble, but I didn't get all the details till yesterday. I didn't know all the details. His grandfather had to drop out of school at 14 to support the family and was literally one of the first caddies on the course, making 25 cents a loop. And Phil carries around with him a silver dollar in his pocket during this tournament for luck that his grandfather would carry with him. That his grandfather would pull out of his pocket every time he thought he was broke, and he'd look at that silver dollar and say, I am lucky and blessed to be working in this country and getting to work here, one of the most beautiful golf courses in the world. And Phil carries that silver dollar with him every time he plays Pebble. He carries a replica with him for every other tournament of the year. But for Pebble, where his grandfather was a caddy and had to support the family at the age of 14, he carries the exact silver dollar his grandfather had. Now, you're probably wondering, you know, the U.S. Open is there in June. I've mentioned that umpteen times. It's on Father's Day. It ends on his birthday. Should he have, you know, not won yesterday so he could win in June? Well, history says otherwise. In the early 70s, Jack Nicklaus won the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, then won the U.S. Open at Pebble, and then Tiger did it. Tiger won the Pro-Am, then won the U.S. Open at Pebble. So much for saying, oh, try not to win this time so you can win in June because it's so difficult to win twice in 1 year. Well, not if you love the course. And even Phil said, look, the course is going to be a lot different in June. Faster greens, higher rough, but clearly he is very comfortable at Pebble, so I can't wait. Congratulations, Phil. Career victory number 44. Good for ninth all time. 303-831-1340. A few notes there on the NBA. A couple records being chased down last night, one being broken. A couple others, you know, near being broken. Will Chamberlain, tough time for Will Chamberlain in the NBA. Last night, Russell Westbrook breaks his streak of triple-doubles in a row. Wilt had it at 9. Jordan had 7 once. Going into last night's game, Westbrook had 9, gets it last night, his 10th triple-double in a row. Folks, he's going to average a triple-double again for the third year in a row, and we're all just yawning, aren't we? I think Russell Westbrook is going to be like a president of the United States. History will be nicer to him once he has retired from basketball and he's out of the league 4 or 5 years. I think we will look back at Russell Westbrook and be like, man, that dude was one heck of a basketball player. We do that with presidents because we're so tough on everybody in our society. Everybody has to be perfect. You know, we're tough on LeBron. He can't make a foul shot in the last 45 seconds of a game. Never mind he's one of the top 3 or 4 players to ever lace up basketball shoes. We are so brutal. Half the country hates Trump. Half the country hated Obama. Half the country hated Bush. Half the country hated Clinton. Oh my gosh, this candidate had a cold glass of beer when he's 19. Let's ruin the rest of his life. You should resign as governor because once upon a time when you were 19, you had a beer. Never mind, that was 40 years ago. And you were a kid, you're trying something for the first time. We are so brutal on our, politicians. And look, I'm not saying they're perfect. If they do something wrong, they should be held accountable. Absolutely. But I think history will be nicer and kinder to Westbrook once he steps away from the court. Because we never thought anyone would do what Big O did, what Oscar Robertson did. And now Russell Westbrook is about to do it for the third year in a row. And that's average a triple-double. He clearly has it in points, and he's averaging 11 rebounds and 11 assists per game. Dude's incredible. I know, look, there are some times when he makes me pull my hair out. I think he shoots too much. But in the last 10 games where he's had 10 triple-doubles, the Thunder are 9-1. So clearly, he's not hurting his team, at least in the last 10 games. Come on back. I'll tell you about another record being close to being eclipsed. And we'll turn our attention to some football. A big transaction yesterday. Joe Benton in the third segment. It's a Tuesday. Mile High Sports. I'm having such a good time.
The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbutt, presented by the Phipps Team, delivering impeccable client service and outstanding results. The realtors you need to talk to are at phippsteam.com. The coins in their eyes represent
the money they owe. Don't forget, folks, OnTap Credit Union. It's not your average bank or credit union. It's different. It's Colorado. Founded in 1954 in Golden, Colorado, likely over a glass of beer. No stuffy suits. Just great financial advice and a friendly environment where you can relax and enjoy yourself. With OnTap, members come first, which is why they offer low rates for cars, homes, credit cards, and more. With OnTap's mobile app, you can have access to your account whether you are meeting friends at a local brewery, out on the slopes, or wherever your next adventure takes you. OnTap Credit Union, they're located in Golden and Arvada, or check them out at ontapcu.org. That's ontapcu.org. As always, they're member-owned, Colorado proud, and federally insured through the NCUA. OnTap Credit Union, folks, check them out. 303-831-1340. That's our hotline and text line. Welcome back to the show. Joe Benton in the next segment. Talk a little NASCAR. Daytona 500 this Sunday, and I'm getting pumped. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a big, big NASCAR race. We were just talking a little NBA when we went to the break. Bless you, Kyle. Russell Westbrook getting his 10th triple-double in a row, breaking Wilt Chamberlain's record. James Harden continued his streak. He had to score 11 points in 100 seconds, but he gets his 30th 30-point game in a row. And he's closing in on Wilt Chamberlain, who had two very long streaks, one of 31, so he will likely match that. But then Wilt had a streak of 65, so that looks safe for the moment. I mean, Harden is going to have to do exactly what he's just done one more time. He's going to have to double and change what he just did. I don't know if that's possible. Actually, I don't know if you include playoff games. There are not enough games in this season to do that, so it would have to carry over to next year. But during this streak, you know, some people say these streaks are bad. You know, it's bad when Westbrook has all these triple-doubles in a row. Well, they're 9-1 during his 10-game streak of triple-doubles. And you know, it's bad. Harden scoring too much. They can't win like this. Well, during the streak, the Rockets are 21-9. And they have climbed from 14th in the Western Conference to 4th. So, you know, during much of this time, CP3 was out. The Rockets were, you know, really banged up. They're getting healthier. He did what he had to do. He held the ship together. And they went 21-9 during his 30-game streak of scoring 30 points or more. And I'll say it again, they went from 14th in the Western Conference, second to last, to fourth. So say what you will about these streaks and these stats. In both cases, their teams have benefited. Thank goodness the Nuggets took care of business last night, stopping a three-game skid. 103-87 defeat of the Miami Heat. Jokic, another solid game. They are 18-1 when holding opponents under 100 points. There's your formula, play defense. Now, I would imagine most teams have a very good record when they hold their opponent to fewer than 100 points. But this team's depth, the Nuggets' depth, especially at the guard position, just wonderful. Look at the box score again. Harris still out. Isaiah Thomas probably coming back right after the All-Star break. Harris, give or take a game, you know, same thing. You know, Jamal Murray, not the best game. Couple turnovers to start, only has 10 points. Don't worry. Morris will step up, give you 17. Beasley will step up, give you 23. Plumlee starting. Millsap coming off the bench for 9. Jokic doing what he does, a solid 23 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists. Few too many turnovers there for Jokic, but I'm going to give him a pass. Having a wonderful, wonderful season. Malone is not afraid to shake up this starting lineup, is he? He's just not afraid. Millsap coming off the bench. I mean, off the top of my head, is Jokic the only player who has started every game? And then you're going to get more depth back with Isaiah Thomas. You'll finally get him. Gary Harris will come back. And the players are buying in. They're buying in, so hopefully this should not be a problem. All this depth, everybody's going to get a chance to hold the rock. Everybody's going to get their minutes. You got to trust Malone. And he said, you know, the cliche of all cliches, it's going to be a great problem to have. And he's right. What have I preached for 3 years on this show? Depth, depth, depth. Oh, it's okay if we lose Trevathan. We're still great, you know, still great defense. Oh, don't worry about if we lose Jackson. That defense 3 years ago in the Super Bowl, I mean, yeah, you had a few superstars. The corners, Vaughn Miller, DeMarcus Ware, but man, you had depth. Rotating guys in and out, keeping people fresh. They just wore the Heat down. The Heat played the night before, playing the best teams in the Western Conference, just wore them down. They could not keep up. They were gassed. I tuned in for the end of the game. They were just gassed. They could not keep up in the second half. And the young, fresh legs of the Nuggets just wore them down. Even at this level. And it doesn't help or it doesn't hurt the Nuggets that they're playing a mile high. They're used to it and the Heat aren't. Could you find a team more at sea level than the Miami Heat? That didn't hurt at all. Playing the second game of a back-to-back. Nuggets just wore them down. That was a big win last night. I don't care if it was against the Heat, who are now 25-30. A big win because the OKC Thunder are rolling. Warriors now first in the Western Conference, 2.5 games up on the Nuggets. They are 9-1 in their last 10. Nuggets are 7-3 in their last 10, and OKC just a game behind them. So the Nuggets are 2.5 out of first. The Thunder are 3.5 out of first, just a game behind the Nuggets. And as I mentioned a few times already in this show, the Thunder are 9-1 in their last 10. Westbrook is, Mr. Triple-Double. Paul George has just had a fantastic season, especially since Christmas. That's such a great story. After that devastating injury, 4 years ago, give or take? Oh, I couldn't even watch that. It's the injury you see once and you almost wish you had never seen it. Kind of like Alex Smith's injury for the Redskins. So happy for Paul George and happy for the Thunder that he stayed there. He could have jumped ship and stayed right there with the Thunder, but they are rolling. I think it's paramount that the Nuggets stay above the Thunder and have that home court advantage in the second round. Because behind the Thunder, you got about a 4-game cushion. Trailblazers are fourth at 7.5 games out of first. So the Nuggets are 5 up on the Trailblazers. The Thunder are 4 up on the Trailblazers, who are tied with the Rockets. So it's really those three teams pulling away. And folks, this season's cruising by. The Nuggets have played 56 games. They've played 56 games. They only have 26 games left. Close to 70% of the season done. Where did that go? Got to stay ahead of the Thunder. I might even favor the Thunder, even if the Nuggets have the home court advantage in the second round. Look, Westbrook and George, they scare me. They are clicking. Adams, that team is scary. Now, one night they can completely fall apart, as I mentioned in the first segment. Westbrook can go, 4-for-28 one night. And if you're the Nuggets, you hope he has 2 of those games in a series. or he can be a very efficient shooter and distribute and rebound the ball, and Paul George, you know, could just explode from the three-point line. But I think it's, you know, imperative that the Nuggets stay ahead of the Thunder. And look, expectations have changed. I'm not saying anymore, oh, I'm just glad that they're going to make the playoffs. Oh, I'm just glad that they're going to host the, you know, a first-round playoff series. My expectations have changed, especially when you know you're going to get Harris back. Especially when you're going to get something from Isaiah Thomas. Something. I don't know what it is. 10, 12 minutes a game? You know, the spark plug off the bench? Just more depth. Tire out your opponent. Bring him here. Bring him to the Mile High City. Run your opponents all over the place. Although you're never going to tire out Russell Westbrook. That dude, he would run until you say stop. He still looks like he's 19 out there. You're not going to tire that dude out. But big win last night for the Nuggets. Got to stay ahead of the Thunder because I want to get to the, you know, Western Conference Finals this year. I do. My expectations have changed a little. Playing some great basketball. Come on back, folks. Joe Ben's going to join us. Here we go. Daytona 500 around the corner on a Tuesday, the Morning Huddle.
The Morning Huddle with David Hurlbutt, presented by the Phipps team, delivering impeccable client service and outstanding results. The realtors you need to talk to are at phippsteam.com.
And if Robin Phipps and her team were in NASCAR, they'd be the Hendrix team. And she'd be Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon. Seven-time winner, multiple winner of the Chase, everything. And that'd be the, you know, Team Hendrick. They're unbelievable. Give the Phipps team a call, 720-484-8620. Or I highly suggest checking out their website, phippsteam.com, phippsteam.com. Everything is there, easy for you to navigate. The homes they represent, the homes for sale, organized by price, broken down for you, their marketing strategy, great blogs, Q&As. Testimonials. Folks, you will not be disappointed. I cannot recommend them higher than I do already. Phippsteam.com. Check them out. They're located out there in Old Town, Arvada. Well, he's located out there in Old Town, La La Land. Joe Ben, I'm getting pumped, man. The race is around the corner. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. It's going to be a fun one, I think. It's been a long time coming, but boy, I tell you what, those Hendrick cars are on fire.
All right, what did you see that makes you say that?
Well, I don't know if you saw a pole day or not, but Hendrick, I think, took the top four spot.
Nice, very nice.
William Byron got the pole for the Daytona 500, and the 88 car got second place. So it's going to be one, and Jimmy Johnson was third.
Wow.
So yeah. So I mean it's going to be crazy. I don't know if you know, you remember how the pole days are done. But everybody tries to qualify for the pole, but then the only two that are kept of the front row, and then we have the duels on Thursday, and that's how the field is set.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody tries to race their way in because there's usually more cars than there are spots for the Daytona 500.
Okay.
So that's going to be fun.
Tell me about the Clash. What did you see in the Clash?
Well, the Clash, it was shortened, unfortunately, by the rain.
Okay.
But Jimmy Johnson won. So those Hendrick cars are going to be moving. I mean, those guys were dicing their way around, but he just had control of his car. And granted, it was only the class is just generally winners from the previous year and people who have won the Clash before. So it's not a full field. but it's gonna be a good one.
So is this a case maybe Team Hendrix and maybe others finally figuring out these Chevys? You know, albeit a bit later than we thought, but you know, they got there.
That's exactly what it was. You remember last year we talked all year long about how these, you know, the first year car, the Chevrolets are a little hard to figure out, you know, and it's going to take some time. But I think they've got these cars dialed in, and I'm really excited about it because, you know, being a Hendrick fan myself, you know, you're kind of like turning on the race every weekend, and, you know, Chase Elliott will have a good run. But, you know, Jimmy Johnson went winless last year, which is the first time in his career that he went a full season without winning a race.
Wow, that's right.
You know, now these guys are going to I think they're going to do fantastic. I mean, if not win the race, they're all going to be up there all day long.
Well, I hope so, because that's great for the sport. And look, man, you cover NASCAR for us, and you know, I cover a lot of sports here, but my audience knows I'm pulling for Phil Mickelson to win, you know, at Pebble Beach. My audience knows that. They know I'm pulling for the Broncos or the Cowboys, and we'll still be fair in, you know, dissecting the game as you will the race. But if your boy wins, I mean, it makes it that much sweeter.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Joe, let's cut to the chase here. Daytona this Sunday. I've missed it, man. I hope you feel the same, but I've missed it. I'm really looking forward to having NASCAR on Sunday afternoon. I probably, you know, I'm not like you. I don't think I watch every single turn, but I have it on in the background. I watch the first 10 laps and come back for another 10, 15. I'm there for the final 15. I'm really pumped to have the Daytona 500 on this Sunday afternoon.
Oh, it has been missed.
Yeah.
It has been missed.
What are you looking forward to the most? Or give me two or three things you're really looking forward to in this race.
Well, all right. First off, you know, these restrictor plate races, they're always going to be tough. You know, it's like trying to, you know, we've described it before. Throw all the names in a hat and, you know, reach your hand in and pick it, because you never know what happens. I mean, there was a crash during the race on the crash that took out 17 cars, you know, and it was just caused by someone getting, actually Jimmy Johnson got into Paul Menard, and Paul Menard got wiggly and spun, and it's an accordion effect, you know. So 17 cars got damaged, and it was all big names because it was the clash. It was all these winners and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so there's always that potential. You never know. It's like, it's just, you never know if you're going to get in a wreck. But safe places to be are out front or way in the back to where you can slam on your brakes.
Right.
So
right.
It all depends on how early people are really going to try to get, you know, squirrely and see if they can move to the front. Because, you know, that's happened in the previous year, you know, lap three, lap five, you know, there's a big wreck and it takes out, you know, 10, 12 cars, and, you know, people are mad. Oh, there's no reason in the world for people to be racing this early in the race, you know, just get out there and ride around until it's time. Now, you know, restrictor plate racing, you're not going to see that 1, 2, 3, 5 cars, you know, take off like in a normal race, you know, that are just going to be the class of the field, because everybody's going to be bunched up. But there will be some cars that have a little more horsepower and be able to move around the field at will. But I'm really excited from what I've seen in the practices, what the Hendrick cars are going to bring, you know, the usual suspects, Kevin Harvick and the rest of the Stewart Haas team, they're going to be good.
Sure.
Unfortunately, those Penske guys are going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, it's Martin Truex with his new team. I'm excited to see what he's going to do.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be fun.
I feel like with Martin Truex, I mean, no offense to Furniture Row Racing or anything, but it feels like a very, very, very good, darn good, like Pro Bowl type of player, going from, I don't know, a smaller market NFL team to the Patriots? Like, what is he going to do now with Belichick and Brady? I mean, you know, with that kind of organization. So we'll see.
Exactly, exactly. He's not going to have to, you know, do all of this stuff by phone or, you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be right there in the hub, and he'll be able to walk right down the hall and talk to Gibbs or you know, have the R&D department right there, you know, to actually be able to relate face-to-face, you know, what's going on. So I'm excited about that for him.
Joe, we got about 2 minutes left. I found some prop bets on NASCAR.com. Did you look at them?
I did. I saw that.
Okay, real quick, and then we'll get to our Daytona picks. Wins for Kyle Busch this season, 5.5, over or under?
Kyle Busch, 5.5, over or under. I'm going over on that one.
All right, same thing, 5.5 for Kevin Harvick.
Oh, definitely over.
Okay, okay. Jimmy Johnson, 0.5. Basically, does he get a win this year?
I bet he gets – he's back on the horse, and he gets 4 or 5 this year.
I agree. I don't know if he gets 4 or 5, but I definitely agree. Multiple wins. He's not going out like last year. He's a competitor. What else
I
got here?
Absolutely.
Wins for the rookie class, 0.5.
That's going to be a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. It's so hard for the rookies to win. I mean, you saw all these guys, Chase Elliott and William Byron, Alex Bowman, you know, the Hendrick guys. Nobody got wins as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to win as a rookie. So I don't think any rookies are going
to
win.
Okay. I'll give you one more, then we'll get to the 500. This is a tough one. Top 5 finishes by Martin Truex Jr., 18.5. Top 5 finishes.
I bet he can do it.
All right. We were just talking him up with his new team with Joe Gibbs. Why not? I bet he gets a top
Absolutely.
5 this weekend.
I hope so.
Who's going to win, Joe? Who's going to win the Daytona 500? Kyle, I want your pick, and then I got mine as well.
Oh, man.
You've had a week to think about this, man.
You know what? I'm just going to go right out of the gate. I think the way that he performed in the Clash, the way that he performed on pole day, I think Jimmy Johnson opens up the season and gets that win out of the way right away.
How about that? Kyle, you got a prediction, Daytona 500?
It's going to be hard for me to go away from Gibbs and Penske all year. I think those are the two teams to watch. I know you guys are big on Hendrick right now, but don't forget about Penske and Gibbs. I will go with Joey Logano.
Okay.
We'll stay safe.
Okay. I am trying to take my heart out of this. I could take Jimmy or Jersey Boy Truex. I'm just trying to look at a guy who's run well here the last few years. I'm going Denny Hamlin. Third last year, winning in 2016. I'm going Denny Hamlin.
He's an amazing pick, and there's no reason in the world why he couldn't win. I mean, he's that good.
Who wins the whole year, Joe? Last question of the segment. Who wins the whole shebang?
It's going to be... Man, that's a great question. You know what? After last year, I think a little redemption, Kevin Harvick comes back and wins it. Does what he should have done last year.
I'm going all heart on this one. I'm going Truex. I'm going Truex. What's he driving, 19 this year? Amari Cooper? I'm going Truex.
Right.
How about you,
Doug?
How about you, Kyle?
I'll take Brad Keselowski this year.
Fair enough. The picks are in. They're documented. Joe Ben, go back to sleep, my friend. Enjoy the race on Sunday.
Y'all have a great day, guys.
Thanks, buddy. All right. 3 different picks for the 500. 3 different picks for the Monster Cup. We'll see what happens. Time will tell. Come on back. One more short segment. The Morning Huddle.
Morning Huddle with David Hurlbut, presented by the Fitz Team, delivering impeccable client service and outstanding results. The realtors you need to talk to are at FitzTeam.com.
Welcome back, friends. So glad you could join us on this Tuesday, February 12th. Could be a nice day today. Sunny, high of 49. Get out there, a little run, a little bike ride. 303-831-1340 is the hotline and the text line. Of course, at KBarrierhead, Kyle's Twitter, at HurlButHuddle is mine. You've heard me mention my good friend, Dr. Gregory Bennett, on this show many times, and I'll continue to do so. He is the founder, the owner of Arvada Dental Center over there, about a 5-10 minute walk from Old Town Arvada on the Wadsworth Bypass. Here's their info, how to reach them. 303-421-7611. That's the phone number. Shoot them an email, info@arvadadentalcenter.com. And check out their website, arvadadentalcenter.com. I mean, you can, these websites are such a great resource now to just start checking out companies, their services, products. You can see who they are, the services they offer, family and general dentistry. Of course, they could take care of your kiddos as well. Hybrid implants, cosmetic, laser whitening. They do Botox. I mean, IV sedation. If you're anything like me at the dentist, you need a little something to help you relax. They will take wonderful, wonderful care of you in their state-of-the-art facility. Check them out, my friends. Arvada Dental Center and their awesome website, arvadadentalcenter.com. G wrote in this morning, hey, ask Joe if it's true NASCAR wants to slow cars down this year. So I did not get that before we signed off with Joe. G, I just texted him. Short answer, yes. See if I can consolidate some of his notes here. Aero packages have changed, making the cars having more downforce in the rear, but the splitter is smaller, making the front end harder to draft. Also, smaller engine sizes, of course, you know, fewer horsepower. So, short answer, yes. There's a few details for you, trying to slow cars down a little. And he's giving me some examples of the horsepower, down to around 550, 600 from 750 to 800. That's huge. That is huge, 25% decrease. So we'll see. We'll see if it makes it safer. We'll see if it makes it more entertaining, less entertaining. Of course, safety is number one. But, you know, safety is something I think NASCAR takes as seriously as any sport. Those cars, those suits, those helmets. I have seen devastating, ridiculous crashes and watching drivers just, you know, get out of the car and walk away as if they're walking down the seventh fairway of their local, you know, country club. So very, very happy to see that and nothing too damaging. What have we talked about today? A little NBA, NASCAR. And I wanted to get a few minutes here on what the Cleveland Browns did yesterday. Don't know if anyone out there has not heard, but the Browns have signed Kareem Hunt to a one-year, $1 million contract. If you have thoughts on this, in the 5 minutes left in the show, let me know. 303-831-1340. Mixed emotions on this. Now, the Browns GM, John Dorsey, of course, was with KC when they were drafting Kareem Hunt, you know, talking to him, watching his workouts coming out of college. So he knows Kareem Hunt. Of course, if any of you have forgotten, about a year ago, almost a year ago, he was roughing up some people, including his girlfriend, in a hotel hallway. And the Chiefs knew about this, kept him on the team, talked to him about it until a video emerged from TMZ, who always seems to get these videos. Laugh all you want at TMZ. They seem to get down to the truth of the matter more times than not. And once that video emerged, KC said, adios. And, you know, they were criticized for that. If you knew about it beforehand, why didn't you release him beforehand? I think they're absolutely right to at least release him when they did, and maybe they should have sooner. Other reports have come out about Kareem Hunt, a couple other possible violent interactions last year, a bar fight with another teammate. So he is in anger management right now. He is on the commissioner's exempt list, which means they're going to, you know, continue to investigate this and, you know, have a possible suspension. So it's not like Kareem Hunt is suiting up for the Browns week one. I definitely have mixed emotions. I absolutely think he should be given a very, very hard suspension. If Ezekiel Elliott can get 6 games and the Columbus police in Ohio never arrested him, and the Columbus police said, There's no evidence here, and the witness is very uncredible. and all over the place. If the lead investigator for the NFL at the time investigated the Ezekiel Elliott interaction, and she said the witness is not credible, and she is a female, as I am saying she over and over again, if she went to Roger Goodell and said there's nothing here to suspend Ezekiel Elliott, and they still suspended him 6 games, Kareem Hunt's got to get at least 8 games and maybe a season. I mean, when you see him throwing the woman down the hallway, pushing a male out of the way, kicking her while she's down, how do you not give him 8 games? At least. I'm all for second chances, but this domestic violence, it's tough. It's tough to look at. You know, I followed Dallas. I was not happy when they brought in Greg Hardy. Was not happy at all, and I said it right here on this show, and I was happy when he left. I think he's trying mixed martial arts now. I think he's had a fight or two. I'm all for second chances, but I never wanted him on my team. I wouldn't want Kareem Hunt on my team. I wouldn't want Kareem Hunt in Denver.
You do not like green eggs and ham.
No, I'm trying to think of the next line. I'm trying to think of it. And it's not coming to me.
Not on a car, not on a plane, not on a bus, not on a train. You will not eat green eggs and ham.
You've read it more recently than I have. But does this make the Browns a better team? It does. If and when he gets on the field for them, it's another weapon. He's a dynamic player. He makes them a better team. I'm sure the city of Cleveland is split down the middle right now. Half the city probably loves this move. Half the city's probably saying, are you kidding me? They're walking down to Cleveland Brown headquarters and saying, what are you guys thinking? We've got a nice thing going here. You bring in this guy? So we will bring this up again tomorrow. We will continue this discussion. Folks, it's Tuesday. It's the Morning Huddle. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.